think I only kept a couple of people sweating it out, would I show up? But I'm here, so let's pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you bring us together for worship. Many of us don't see the others during the week because we're all out and about in this world. Being sent out into the world each week, that reminder each day that we are your loving presence in this world. So open our minds and hearts this day that our souls and our minds may be fed and that our spirit and life may be called into what you would lead us to. In your name we pray, amen. It is that time of year, isn't it? Again. And all of a sudden it got here, right? I didn't really feel like, 11 whole months have passed before you started that Christmas kind of push. So we are in the season of Advent, that season where we toss out words like wait, watch, those words that shape us around. It's not just about the trees and the lights. So how many of you during the period of Thanksgiving week, so to speak, how is there in your house right now, is there maybe some sign that you, for those that do Christmas trees, that the Christmas tree is going to happen soon? Is there a box in the hallway? Is there a tree already stood up? Are decorations already pulled from here and there? How many of you during the Thanksgiving holidays? Oh, not near as many as I thought. Good luck, the rest of you. No. Oh, I tell you, we put a lot into it, don't we? We put an awful lot of energy and joy into it. It's that time of year when I think that we all have a sense that we have urgency together around this season. Advent, it is the time we pull out our trees, if we do one. Of course, if you do one like my sister, she wraps up presents that she's already bought or empty boxes, and then she'll take a big circle of boxes that are all wrapped up Christmassy, and then she'll put a smaller layer of boxes all wrapped up Christmassy. Then she'll put another layer of boxes all wrapped up until it's taller than she is, put the last box on the top with a bow on top, and that is her Christmas tree. She started doing that 3 years ago, and they'll never go back, as her husband says. But for them, that's their Christmas tree, and there's already signs of some wrapping, I'm sure, that's already gone on. But we come to the time of where our scripture tosses us some messages that aren't quite like the commercials that Publix gives us for Christmas, our Hallmark cards, our decorations. It has another feeling to it. In fact, if you follow me for a moment, the line of thinking is that oftentimes I think that people in whatever century they have lived in have looked at the Bible and listened to the Bible, if they do at all, from previous hundreds of years of it being written and evolving, and have said, that's old stuff. It's not relevant to me. How could it know what my world is like? We might think that the teenagers and young adults are the first time that's happened in history. It happened the previous generation and the one before that and the one before that, each trying to sort out biblical text. But the spirit, the what happens within our gospel today, this first Sunday of Advent, really, if we think about it, we can identify quite well with this gospel. It's pretty scary gospel, and we're right now living in pretty scary times. It's a gospel where you can see that there's arguing from one group or another, and one winner and one loser, and we see that a lot. But it is also a gospel where Jesus is instilling in his disciples that sense of urgency, that running that never stops. So here we are in a time when our running never stops, when we have that urgent feeling all the time. The reason Jesus did this, you think, was it to scare them to death? Was it to make them think that at any moment the end of time could come? and that Liz would be taken up, and then I'd be left behind. Or Kenan would be picked up, and David, well, he'd be picked up too. You know, that sense of feeling that, oh, what's going to happen next? Too much of our lives are like that, though. Too much of that. At that time period that they happened, Jesus knew that what his disciples were going to face was a great, great deal of stress and suffering because of believing in him. And if anything, he was trying to say, I know it's going to happen. I know it is. But just be awake. Be awake. Be awake to me, to God and his presence. When the scripture of Matthew was actually in print and beginning to circulate to different churches and being read aloud, because of course they did not have printing press or anything, it was very relevant to that time. After the temple had fallen, after the rocks were all tumbled on the ground, that was the time. And so once again, they could look back and hear this and know, Jesus, he knows we're going through this. And so whatever our tumbling world does to us, Jesus knows we're going through this. Let's switch to Isaiah, to the passage where there's some images that I want us to just cling to if we have anything that we are going to set as a spiritual goal during Advent. When we come to Isaiah, and if you still have your bulletin where you could see it and read it, you can do so or just listen. It says down there as we get going on it, think of this image. God's going to be there. His presence is going to be wherever there is that we're talking about. And there's going to time, a day, a time when people of different nations are going to come together. They're going to come together, and maybe they have come still with their different groups of being held at bay from one another. But with this moment, he's bringing them all together. He says, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. In other words, come, be with the people, that he may teach us his ways. That he may walk, that we may walk in his path. That God can teach us his ways. That we can walk in his paths. Sounds a little bit akin to what we say as we leave the service every week. Connecting to a pathway of joy and life, and God leading us on that pathway. But then it goes on. Recognizing that what's happened here is that there have been nation fighting nation. There's been slaughter on top of slaughter. There has been tumbling of rocks and damage to buildings upon. They know war very well. But the image that Isaiah has God telling him to give is an image where that ends. And if war ends, if the arguing ends, what else also ends? Any need for a weapon. So we're kind of looking at this as, notice what it says. He'll judge between nations. He'll arbitrate for many peoples. And they, doesn't say just the people that have wealth, not just they, are just the people that are poor, not just that they, are not the they that are white, or the they that are black, or the they that are this, or the they that are that, but the they means everyone shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Those lines, you could hang your whole life on that hope and prayer. Let's pick it away just a moment. I think the last time David and I checked that we do not have any spears in our closets. We don't have any swords, even ones that are decorative swords hanging on the walls. Some of you might have a very beautiful decorative sword, maybe one that was, you know, a great-great-grandfather's in the Civil War. that once went through our family until it was taken off by someone else by thievery. But in other words, you might have something like that. You might have a gun safe. You might have all. But what he's after is the swords and the spears, what becomes of them? And if we don't have those swords and spears, if we don't have other weapons on a daily basis that we use, what do we have? First, look at some of the damage that wartime can give. It does. There's a lot to clean up after when a sword or weapons have been used to damage. But they still have to clean up. Children still need to put on their backpacks and go to school. And one person, and you have several images sometimes in pictures after war where a musician has taken a cello or a piano and against the backdrop of rubble has used their tool to bring a sense that there's something else in the world besides war and damage and swords. But look what can happen when you've got some pruning hook going around. Why, yesterday morning, if you had come to church, you would have seen leaves all over the place, limbs all over the place, parts of a tree down on the ground, this and that, because people were using their pruning hooks. They were using their plowshares of sorts. They were using their leaf blowers, and they were using their lawn mowers, and they were using things that brought about a different kind of end. It wasn't the symbol of after they had been at work, quite different than after weapons had been at work. This kind of work brought about some beauty, some joy in the ground. You know, like I'm sure those trees that were pruned and trimmed felt like, finally, somebody gives me a haircut that I've been needing. So thank you to all of you that labored that way and labored to set up the wreaths that brought in the blue, that set up the nativity, that decorated the trees, that did and did and did here and there to bring about joy of those kind of tools, bringing positive. Now let's look at how we do. Like it or not, David and I have two swords in our house that could be used at any point to do damage. Isaiah, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What sword does David and I have? Do all of us have? The sword of our tongues. The Bible says in many ways, several ways, throughout the Bible, that much damage can be done by one's tongue. Why, if a huge ship, the book of James says, if a huge ship can be guided by a small rudder, think about it could guide it right into rocks or it could guide it into the harbor. So does our tongue, a little but a mighty weapon. So we do have things about Isaiah we could listen to. Maybe this Advent we could focus on taking our swords that does damage, and may we give words of healing. Let's read together Proverbs 12:18. Speaking recklessly is like the thrust of a sword, but the words of the wise bring healing. Let's read Proverbs 25:18. Telling lies about friends is like attacking them with clubs, swords, and sharp arrows. Play that image out in your mind. I know that there have been several times that certain layers of my, as they call it, your family of origin. In other words, the kids I grew up with, the mom and dad that tried to teach me right from wrong and certainly let us know when they weren't right or when we were wrong. And so we learned about this thing, but I also know that there were some mighty damage done by how we talk to one another sometimes. There's a reason why late night show hosts and jokes are made about families when they get together for holidays. Ugh, what's Dad going to do this time? Oh, Dad, you think Joe will show up? Or do you think she'll come? All of your families are just perfect, though, right? There's no little quips here or there, no inside jabs that have been done through the years. I am not asking for any show of hands on that one. Because I think we have to admit to ourselves, even in tiny ways maybe not like severing a relationship, but I think we don't realize how powerful our words are in a person's soul and heart and life. And the power can be damaging, or the power can be healing. The power can be a sword, or it can be a pruning hook. It can be about death, or it can be about life. What an interesting way to think about that this Advent. Let's beat our sword into a plowshare of healing and hope. We say it every week. Let's say together, starting with connect. And when it comes to those two words that are like in giant letters, then I want you to say it in a giant way, okay? Here we go. Connect to Jesus' pathway of joy and life. Well, that felt good up here. I wish you guys could feel the power of your voices coming this way. That was pretty cool. So you can each come and step one at a time and do it again so that you can feel that. To know that you can, anyway, it may not look like it, but we are running close to, as Pastor Fritz would say, we're about to, you know, go around third base and head to home. We're getting there. Before you leave this service today, you're going to hear these words. And to me, it connects to how we can help ourselves and teach others. What does it mean to say that we're going to connect to Jesus' pathway of joy and life? How do we do that? Do we ever give ourselves like a list of, this will get you closer to Jesus' joy in life? If you do this, look at these words. You'll say them in just a moment today. May God, and when the letters are in capitals, let's say them together, with boldness. May God, who gathers us in love, lead you in pathways of righteousness and justice. May God, who fills us with good things, lead you in pathways of equity and abundance. May God, who knows us more deeply than we know ourselves, lead you in pathways of forgiveness and freedom. Each one of those slides, each one of those words is worth a lot of talking about together with each other, but more than anything, a whole lot of doing. Doing some righteousness and justice. Doing some equity and abundance for those that don't have. Doing some forgiveness. Doing some setting people free from what we've held them in, or allowing ourselves to be set free. We won't sing it, but all this week I've had this song go through my mind. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. I ain't going to study war no more. I ain't going to study war no more. I ain't going to study how to hurt someone with my tongue anymore. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield. Here's the running toward home. David kidnapped me on Friday night. He told me I had no choice in the matter, absolutely none, and I'm really not exaggerating. You can talk to him. He said, we will go see a movie this time. We love movies. All right, somebody can clap. That's right. Okay, has anybody else seen it? Oh, good. Should people go? I think. But go knowing something I didn't know ahead of time, and that is it's a story not about how they painted the little rail cars and set up the little puppets and figured out how to do his TV show. It's a movie about someone that getting to interview and know Fred Rogers transformed his life. Tom Hanks said, I mean, you know, come on, admit to yourself. Most of us are kind of at the age when maybe when we saw it coming on and everything, even my kids were a little bit older than what he, you know, sort of. And so you might have even thought the Fred, you know, the it was dorky a little bit, just a little bit maybe. Tom Hanks thought that. And he started studying him and studying to be a part of this and listening to the wife Fred Rogers. That look that you see, those shoes going up in the air. Tom Hanks is a very famous actor. He has been in blockbuster films. He's done a lot of learning where to be, but he said one of the hardest things about this one was learning to do him. He said that what happens when you're on a set, you're told to go here, and you're told to go there, and you're supposed to remember to pick up this and talk to that person, and oh, all of a sudden, turn your head to that camera and do that. And then, and he said, all you feel on it is urgent, be there on time, do your words, know it all. And he said the hardest thing was you couldn't do Fred Rogers like that. And in training himself to not do it like that, with his brilliant an actor as he is, that first opening scene, you do go see it, the picture we see with the shoe up in the air, it took 27 takes for Tom Hanks to get it right. But he learned something from this, and this is our Advent word. He said, what I learned was that listening, Fred Rogers would say this a lot, listening is a million times more important than talking. As a result of what he learned, this is what he has started doing. He says, there's an acronym that I've now started using in my own life. W-A-I-T. That's one of our Advent words. Learning how to wait. Wait. And it would do us all well to learn how waiting might remind us to ask ourselves, so why am I talking instead of listening? Listening. And so may we all do a little more waiting of this kind this Advent. Amen.